Today is the last day of the year of our Lord 2023. Doesn't that sound weird? And as the Lord wills, you'll lay your head down tonight, and when you open your eyes, or maybe some of you will stay up, maybe your night owls, when you open your eyes, as the Lord wills, we will be in a new year. Now, for some, that's like, yes. I could even hear the cheers out there as people were saying, thank God this year is over. For some, they're like, I don't really care. It's just man-made markers that we kind of pass time with. They're just measurements, right? But whether you had really beautiful moments throughout the year, I'm sure you did, whether you had awfully challenging moments, or maybe some people came into your life or some people left, whatever your last year looked like, you may have noticed or felt like God wasn't working at times. I think Vince just so beautifully painted that picture. Whether you feel like it, you realize it, you recognize it, whether you don't, maybe you missed it, or you felt like God wasn't working, I want to assure us this morning that even through what we perceive as bad, I won't even use a bad year, right? We've had good years and we've had years of learning, but I won't use bad. Right, because even if there's things we perceive as bad, the word promises us that he's working all things. Somebody say all things. For the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So the year may have been tough. I don't know what your 2023 looked like. It may have been blissful, full of joy. But my prayer today is that we could at least do two things, among many other things, that we could at least, number one, give thanks. Say that when we say give thanks. In fact, the word calls us in everything to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so if you want to know what the will of God, I don't know about y'all, but I want to know what the will of God is. It's so plain right there in 1 Thessalonians 5 that his will is that we would pray without ceasing, we would rejoice always, and in everything give thanks. Amen? Now, doesn't mean we necessarily have to give thanks for everything, but in everything, would you give thanks? Would you look back over the last 365 days with the heart of gratitude for what the Lord has done and taught us and brought us through and protected us from, that we would give thanks? The second thing that I would call us into is that we would expect the Lord's faithfulness. That doesn't mean now we expect to be rich or famous. That doesn't mean actually that we would expect to be comfortable or happy all the time. I don't know what 2024 will look like for me or for you. I don't know what exactly to expect, but I do know one thing that we can expect is God's faithfulness. Amen. That he's faithfully protecting and keeping and forgiving and saving, and that he who began a good work in us will carry it to completion. And so, whatever your year might look like last year, as we look back, would you give thanks? And as we look forward to the next year, be in expectancy that God is faithful and he will show up faithfully in your life. Amen. And so, church, we have been at the Vine walking through a series in John, and we put that on pause to walk through Advent. Just a few weeks, just kind of looking through the Gospel of Luke and seeing different perspectives on the Advent story, right? And even now we're still pausing in John, and we're starting just a really small series on habits. Can you guys say that with me? Say habits. And so as we move into this series on habits, the next few weeks we'll touch on generosity, building out habits of generosity, building out habits of prayer and fasting, but today we'll spend some time in God's word thinking through and focusing on habits of trusting God. What does it look like for us to trust God? Here's my question. How in the world, EL, do you build habits of trusting God? And I believe that we find the answer to that question in his word. So if you have your word with you, if you have your sword, so to speak, if you have your word, stand with me as we read God's word again. We'll read Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. I'll give you a second just to get there. If you're there, say amen. If you need a second, say hold on. Okay, give you just a few more seconds. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it reads as such. It says, therefore, Jesus speaking here, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, but they neither spin nor toil. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I've read in your hearing Matthew 6, verse 25 down to verse 34. Before you have your seat, just help me preach this morning. Just find somebody next to you and repeat after me. Say, habits of trusting God. You may have your seat. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness to us. We look back over the last year with hearts of gratitude and into the next year, Lord willing, if you allow us to see it, with hearts expecting your faithfulness. Lord, bless this time in your word. Your servants are listening. Lord, speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So we think about this time of year. We are no stranger to habits. We're no stranger to creating resolutions. Does anybody have resolutions? I see a few yeses, maybe a few frowns there. And so as we think about, some of us are already kind of in the mindset of the newness of introducing habits and building upon whatever happened last year, or maybe even just wrecking everything and starting over. And so I just went back and thought of and looked through the top resolutions from last year. Just real quick, the top seven resolutions were to exercise, number one. Number two, to eat healthier. Number three, to lose weight. Number four, to save more money. Number five, spend more time with family and friends. Number six, spend less time on social media. And number seven, to reduce stress on the job. A bunch of last year, new habits, new things we put and tacked up on our board and say, I'm going to make sure all 365 days I am that. I'm an exerciser, or I'm a healthy eater, whatever that may be. And some of these are really cool. I want to encourage us in a lot of these goals and these resolutions and these new habits that we'll tack on to our lives. I want to encourage us in those, right? Go for it. That's my encouragement. But as we talk through this series on habits, and as a church, as we think through what it looks like to build Christ-centered habits, we don't want to go so fast and just center all of our habit forming and our habit building on just earthly things. We are called to steward what we have here, right? But not to solely focus so much on earthly things and be so fueled by our own willpower and the things that we want and we desire that we miss the opportunity to direct our attention to where God is leading us, to what habits God is calling us to tack on to our lives or to reintroduce to our lives. I believe Paul would say to set our minds on things above. And so we want to build our lives, our habits on the Word of God, so that we live by the Spirit of God, and so that we are conformed to the image of God. And so as we look at the text this morning, Matthew chapter 6, we see Christ calling us, commanding us even to trust God, to trust Him. In this text and throughout the whole body of Scripture, we find this thing true about habits, that habits both reveal things about us, they reveal who we are, they expose what we care about and what we love, what we're passionate about. They expose what we think about God. Our habits do that. And in the same time, almost like a paradox, our habits both expose and they reveal, but they also reform and reshape us. They reform and reshape who we are and what we love and what we do. And so when we think about habits, we can't go so fast but to say, Lord, what are the habits that you want us to adopt? I believe without question, if there's any habit you could tack on to your life or add a new or maybe wreck your old habits and create something from whatever the habit that you are thinking about, I think there's nothing better than the habit of trusting God. And so we'll find three things that I'd love to pull out of our text this morning that help us focus on building habits of trusting God. Those three things are our foundation. That as we build out habits of trusting God, we build them on the foundation that He set before us. Number two, our identity. And number three, our priorities. As we stay focused on these three things, we can't help but build habits of trusting and deepening this trust and love and faith in our Lord and Savior. And so the first is our foundation. Our foundation is and should always be the character, work, and Word of God. Amen? I think we got that. Some of us been to Sunday school growing up. We've been in our Bibles. We know our foundation should be God. It's the thing that holds us up. It's the thing through which we, all of our decisions are informed. It's the thing by which we move and live and have our being. It's God. God is our foundation, right? Or at least He should be. So when we regularly revisit our foundation, it deepens our trust. When we regularly go back to the truth of who God is, the truth of His character and who He's called us to be, the foundation in Christ Jesus Himself and God, we build and deepen and grow in our trust and our faith of Him. And so Jesus in this segment of Scripture, in verse 25, He says, "Do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat, about what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will wear." And so in other words, if I could translate this just a little bit different to my own words, it's like if you consistently find yourself and regularly find yourself anxious and worried and fearful and frustrated, maybe your habits aren't pulling you closer to your foundation. They may actually be revealing that though this foundation which you started, it's there, it's strong, it's solid, that you're actually not trusting it. That maybe you're not standing firm in this foundation, His character and His love for you. I've read this passage thousands of times, maybe not thousands, maybe a few times over and over again. I've read this passage and seen and heard what Jesus has said, right? But in short, I believe Jesus helps build out even a framework here of what He would assume His mostly Jewish audience would already have as a solid foundation about God. He says, check this out. The God that we serve, our Heavenly Father, is actually way more powerful than you can even imagine. Consider all the birds, and I don't know, I couldn't number how many birds there are. There's probably billions, maybe trillions, I don't know. But God feeds all of the birds. And consider all the lilies of the field. He says Solomon was dressed and he was decked out and he had his nice Christmas outfit on and he looked good, but he couldn't dress nearly as good as the lilies, and God dresses them every morning. He says that to this Jewish audience that should have a foundation in who God is and His power, He says, you're anxious. But would you consider God's power? This God who could feed all of the birds of the air and dress all of the flowers of the field, this God who is sustaining and maintaining all of creation, that power. And not only that, but his wisdom. In verse 32, he says, he knows, our Heavenly Father knows, even without us asking, exactly what we need. And not only his power and his wisdom, but that he provides his provision. He feeds the birds. He dresses the lilies of the field, and he cares about you. How much more so will he provide for you? In fact, the word declares that the cattle on 1,000 hills is his. He has no problem providing. The patriarchs of old would call him Jehovah Jireh, pointing to God, our provider. And so we see this powerful, wide God of provision, but also this God of love. As we look to verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor they reap, nor they gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? In fact, if you think about how God cares about you and loves you, would you consider for a second the foundational truth that God is not only powerful, not only wise, not only a provider, but that he cares for you and values you more than you can imagine. He's powerful and wise and provides and loves, and he's a king. Jesus calls us in this semi-famous verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, meaning there is a king behind this kingdom. A king upon which everything in his kingdom stands. Meaning not only does he offer love and blessing and grace and favor, but he calls for our allegiance and our loyalty, and he demands and commands our life. He gets to tell us what to do and how to live. And so as we think through and build out habits, I can't help but to see Jesus calling his people in this Sermon on the Mount to go again to the foundation, which you should know and you've read in the synagogues and the temples since you were young, the foundation of our God who is powerful and wise and true and loving and holy, and he's a king. He's regal and majestic. He commands our attention. Would you go again to your foundation? And so this year, as we build out our resolutions, as we build out our habits, there is a way that we can go about, even as followers of Jesus, we can build out really good habits of reading God's word and spending more time in prayer, but there's a way we can go about that in which we leave or forget about the foundational truths. And those things amount nothing more to us just reading back and forth to empty ears, or crying out in prayer in a way which we just speak. If we miss the foundation of who God is and what he can do and what he has done and what he's calling us to, if we miss that as we build out habits, we miss an opportunity to truly deepen our trust of God. The next thing is our identity. That our habits, as we build them out, habits of trusting God, should pull us back to our identity. They should pull us back to our foundation. The foundation that we stand on is God himself, and they should pull us back to our identity. Not necessarily our identity given to us by our mom and our dad, or given to us by the world, not even the identity that sometimes we feel in the moment, but actually the identity given to us by God himself, given to us specifically won by Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Our habits call us to gospel identities. And so I think of a story, and something that actually is kind of funny, kind of embarrassing, but I always go back home with a good group of friends of mine. And every time we go back home, we always play a game of pickup basketball. And so this is like at least a once-a-year thing. We'll get back together. We'll play. And we got together. We played this game. We broke up teams. And this was like the most competitive Yeah, we weren't the most talented, but we were like the most competitive guys out there, right? And so we're going back and forth. One team wins one game. The other team wins another game. We go back and forth for three or four games, and we finally get to – we're a little bit older at this point, so we get to the time where it's like the next game, whoever gets this gets bragging rights for the rest, you know, the next year or so. So we're coming down the stretch, and I can remember the ball goes up, and we're getting close to game point, so this is serious, and everybody's looking for somebody to box out. And so the ball goes up for this game-winning shot, and we go and hit somebody, and all of a sudden I can hear behind me two of my guys on the ground wrestling, fighting, tussling it out. And so for a moment, there was like this little kid in all of us that comes out. It's like, yes, fight. So these guys are on the ground, and they're tussling, and they're not really trying to really hurt each other, but we're all just excited to see them fight one another. And so we're like, fight, fight, fight. And I have this moment where I kind of just like, it's like time stops for a second, and I'm like almost outside of myself. And I look to me, and I'm like, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, man, I'm having fun. And so as I'm thinking through what's going on and really just having this introspective moment, it's like, EL, you're supposed to be the pastor to these guys. You're supposed to be the picture of Jesus that these guys will see. And you're like on the side like, yes. What would Jesus do? Like, man, I love those bracelets. I love it a little bit less when he hits us with that conviction and it hurts. But I had this moment where I forgot who I was, and I allowed some things to go on in this moment that I knew weren't of God. I knew wasn't a good image or picture that I would give even to my friends of encouraging my guys to fight it out, right? And I'm reminded all the time, and we even say this with a few of my guys now, if you know who you are, you'll know what to do in any and every situation. If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you know the identity for which he's bought you with, if you knew the sweat and the blood that he experienced and poured from his head and his side, if you knew the pain that he went through to acquire this new identity that we freely get to live by in faith, then you would move in that identity every second, every moment. You would build habits in your life that always bring you back to your identity. Every now and then, we may stray away a little bit, and we might end up on the side and fight, fight, fight. But I'm praying that as we build out habits, and with the help of the Lord, he would call us back into our identities, our gospel, Christ-won, blood-bought identities. He goes through this passage. And even through the entire Sermon of the Mount, Jesus declares that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that we are children of God, that we are those who are deeply valued and provided for by God. We are seekers of his kingdom. And in verse 31, Jesus, he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. In other words, just watch your habits. It will reveal if you identify more with the world or the surrounding culture or more with God. And so my question is, as you cultivate habits going into this new year, do they call you into who God says you are? Do they call you into the identities that Christ has won on that cross? Your foundation, your identity, and lastly, your priorities. The last thing that we can focus on as we build out habits of trusting God are our priorities, what we seek. And Jesus says this, seek first. Everybody say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prioritize above all else the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How in the world do we do that? Don't miss this. But I want you guys to understand and grasp this from even from the scriptures, that what has our attention has our affection? What has our attention has our affection. In fact, another more wise person than me said it like this. They say, you steer where you stare. And so when we think about building out habits, I would challenge us to prioritize God more, but I would be remiss to say that without saying that we have to be on guard against what has our attention, what's occupying our eyes. In fact, I love in the New Testament as we see more and more passages that call us to be careful where we look, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus even says it here. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What has your attention has your affection. And so building habits of trusting God means all of our habits focus on what our attention and where our attention is going. We're constantly evaluating what has our attention. We're rerouting our eyes back to Jesus over and over again, back to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so as we close, I just want to leave us with just a few more practical pieces of how we can trust God in our habits. The first one is so obvious, the word in prayer, is that we would build regular routine, not just routine, but regular time and routine in God's word. And that as we engage with God's word, that we wouldn't miss the foundational truths about God. We wouldn't just read to check off a box, or we wouldn't just read to say and show people at the end of the year, yeah, I checked off my reading plan. But that we would build our routines and our habits on the foundation of God, of Christ alone. That we would build the habits of word and prayer in the identity given to us by Christ Jesus, that it would call us back into our identity. That as we read and pray, we would restructure and reprioritize our lives. The word in prayer. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. Not just kind of mediocre, but dwell richly. That we would meditate and memorize, and we would dwell in the word, and the word in us, that we would have the word as a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, that it would direct every step we take, that we would talk about it in our life groups, that we would share it with our spouses, that we would love God's word, that we would spend deep and long moments in prayer, or maybe sometimes short whispers of prayer, but just loving the presence of the Lord. Would you build this habit? The next is silence and solitude. An age-old discipline, maybe one that we're unfamiliar with. We live in a busy, chaotic world. And so silence and solitude is something that seems strange to us. It seems unfamiliar, but Jesus teaches us. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Over and over again in the Gospels, he does some move or miracle, and then he retreats and prays and spends time with the Lord in silence and solitude. Number three is community. Let us consider how to spur one another on to loving good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. I love that the word used the word habit. Because we, as we build habits of trusting God, need community with one another. Would you build that into your habits? We will talk about this in further series, but generosity and giving is a habit of trusting God. It is to say, I could use this money, these finances, these resources over here, but God, I'll choose to trust that I can do more with this 90 or 85 or 80% than on my own I could do with 100%. I could do more with you, God, than I could on my own. Generosity and giving. Number five is diversity. might be wondering, how in the world is diversity like a habit of trusting God? I could imagine and maybe even feel a little bit as Gilbert is reading in his native language, maybe just a little bit of us being uncomfortable. And that's a good thing. That made us just a little bit, maybe slightly uncomfortable. It is a sign that maybe God is calling us into habits of diversity, that if we take him at his word, if his kingdom looks like a multitude of people that we cannot number from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language, this multitude of different looking and culturally diverse backgrounds of people that are worshiping the Lamb, if we believe him, then we make ourselves uncomfortable for the sake of seeking his kingdom. We embrace people that look different from us or are in a different generation or listen to different kind of music or speak different languages than us. We prefer them maybe even over our own culture. We don't force those who didn't grow up like us to either move to us or get out of here. In fact, we move to them and we say, Lord, I trust you. And if this is what your kingdom looks like, then I'll follow you. I'll seek first your kingdom. And then lastly, number six is justice. That our hearts would love what God's heart loves. That they would hate what God's heart hates. That we would abhor sin. That we would love righteousness. But not only that, but that we would also, in even the ways that we would interact with one another, we would reach down to bring the lowly up, and we would maybe even reach up to bring the high down to the level of cross, saying it's all level at the foot of the cross. That we would live lives of mercy and justice, trusting God every step of the way. As you build out habits this season, this year, I challenge you, jump on the train, do that exercise thing, do the eating well, the eating healthy, do all of it. The financial freedom, whatever you want to add to that list of resolutions, but I would say at the top, put number one, building habits of trusting God. Ben, would you come up? I'll close with this. As we build habits, we can very easily lose our way. We could very easily digress into a situation again where we say, oh, this makes me look good. This makes me feel good. I'll build out this list of habits, and everyone will think I'm awesome. I want to challenge us that even as we build out habits, to trust and to really understand that if God is not working, it's for naught. That we could list out, we could add ourselves to 1,000 reading plans in our Bible app. But if we are doing that in a spirit of self-righteousness, it's for naught. And so, I don't know if you guys play basketball a lot, but I'm in that world all the time. I do sports ministry, and just the other day I saw my son opportunity to get him a little basketball. And how much do you think a basketball costs? At most, maybe $50, right? For that, for him, it better be about $15. Basketball, $50 most. Maybe in my hands, it might be $50. But if you give that basketball to LeBron James, that now becomes a $50 million basketball. If you put a golf club in my hands, it might be a $200 golf club, and that's pushing it. Get me the cheap club. But if you put that golf club in Phil Mickelson's hand, or if you put that in Tiger Woods' hand, that now becomes a $1 million golf club, right? If you put some groceries in my hands, maybe if you spend $100, it might not come back worth $100. It might come back worth $90 when I'm through with it. But if I give that $100 to some of y'all in here who can really throw down, who can really cook, if I give that $100 of groceries to my mama, it now becomes a meal where we gather around the table and make lifelong memories. It becomes so much more valuable than what it was worth. And what I want to remind us this morning, that habits in the wrong hands, if habits just remain in your hands, if they just remain things that you seek after, if they're scattered with your desires and your thoughts and the things that you want, and we leave God out of the picture, it's for nothing. And it actually is worth less than we can imagine. But when we put our habits in God's hands, when we move the things that he's calling us to and calling us to do, the things that he's calling us to seek, when we move that into God's hands, and we say, God, take this as an offering. Take my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. When we offer and walk in step with the Spirit of God in every step of the way, when we put it in his hands, these habits of trusting God go from worthless, valueless, wastes of time to life-changing, eternal gifts that point to the glory of God. Would you build habits of trusting God this season? Keep your resolutions, but slide this to the top, habits of trusting our God.